First of all, I want you to see, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1. We're going to be flying. We're going to be going through some stuff. If you want to, write this down. But here was a man that absolutely, the reason why this can be an encouragement to each and every one of us is that when you read 1st and 2nd Peter, when you read the book of Acts, and then you see how Peter grew. And yes, there were times he still messed up. But especially as you read 1st and 2nd Peter, and you realize that God was so patient with him. God was so faithful to him. The Lord was so faithful. There is hope for people that even though you wind up messing up, praise God, He is faithful. Some of us are really glad for that. All of us ought to be. In John chapter 1, we wind up hearing of the calling of the disciples, the beginning as all this takes place. There was a man by the name of Andrew who found Christ. Look at verse 41, John 1. Andrew decides he's going to wind up being a soul winner. He says, look at verse 41. He says, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, let's stop right here. Has Jesus beheld you? Does he know everything about you? Does he know that when he got you, he wasn't getting much? Because I tell you what, when he got me, he wasn't getting much. But isn't it interesting that the Bible says that God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the mighty? Welcome. I mean, that's just us. That's just us. Praise God for that. He beheld him and said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Suppose, according to getting into word study, the name for Peter, his first name, Simon, means something like a dove. In other words, it's not something solid. He says, I'm going to give you another name. I believe that the Lord renamed him to let him know just what he was going to be doing. A stone is something solid. A stone stays. And that's exactly what was going to happen with Peter. Now, a little bit later on, it's fascinating to read this. You can do a study when it comes to how all this was forming. You look at a comparison of the Gospels. You find in the book of Luke. Go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, please. Crack your knuckles, do whatever you have to do to get going. Luke chapter 5. We're going to catch this in mid-thought. Let's go to verse 4, Luke chapter 5. Jesus has used the ships, going out and teaching the people. Wanted to get away from the land a little bit. Verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said, Master, we toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Please look up for just a second. Can we start really listening to the Word of God? Listen, Peter was not any better than the rest of us, and he wasn't any worse. I just want us to recognize this, that when he came face to face with the power of the Son of God, this was his response. Now, I wonder what our response is. Folks, we are not here preaching and teaching one another. I am not here preaching the goodness of Mike Rogers. We teach and preach Jesus Christ. And when you come face to face with him, we ought to respond like Peter. He is a holy God. He's the infinite God. He's the God come in the flesh. Let us hear that. We ought to have the response. Lord, I don't deserve the salvation that you give, but thank you for giving it to us. Amen. Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with him. And Jesus said unto Simon, now this is interesting, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now stop and consider that. Stop and think about that. One of the things that we found out when we were in Israel, it was really good. He said, have you ever thought about the difference between a shepherd and a fisherman? The difference between a shepherd and a fisherman. Now, Lynn Gilbert is gone and Larry's not here right now also. They've got the little sheep and the kids have been seeing them, you know, just really cute and all that. A shepherd takes care of the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is a fisherman. Bad fish, good fish, thud. Bad fish, good fish, thud. You know how much the Lord had to do a job in his, in Peter's heart to take him from being a fisherman to a shepherd, which he wound up being. The point is this though, at the very beginning, he says, guess what? You see what you've been doing here? From now on, thou shalt catch men. So first of all, I want you to see, he came. This is the beginning. I'm sorry, I've been leaving out my outline. First of all, we see Peter growing strong in faith. He came. Next, he confessed. Go to Matthew 16, if you would, please. Matthew 16. This is where it's verses 13 through 16. This is what I just explained in Caesarea Philippi. He said, you know, whom do men say that I am? They say, some are John the Baptist, some Elias, and so forth. Look at verse 16. And Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So we see the man that went from saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord, to being a disciple. He's a learner. And now he has come to this place. Jesus has shown him some things about himself. By the way, what has Jesus shown you about himself lately? Good question. He's shown him some things about himself, and he winds up saying this, you know what? Lord, I believe thou art the Christ. I have seen enough. I've heard enough. And so he makes the great confession. Later on, he concludes this in John chapter 6. Go if you would there, please. This is a popular chapter where there were many that were following Christ and they wound up leaving him. Look at verse 65, John 6. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given of him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples, they were learners as well. They were seeking to learn him. From that time, many went back and walked no more with him. You know what's sad? How many of you really, I mean, you stop and you think about what we have in Christ. There were those that said, never man spake like this man. Never man spake like this man. And yet, when he spoke words of truth here, guess what happened? They left. And you feel like going to them and saying, don't you understand who it is that you're walking away from? This is Christ, the Son of the living God, God come in the flesh. You've got to see that. Somebody's having a tough time. About to go with Mama. I see that. You know what's funny? When it's your own grandchild, it doesn't sound bad. I love being a papa. But now listen, go to verse 67. They left. Look at verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Now can I ask you something? Please, hear me out in this. Is there anything that would happen to you that would make you walk away from Jesus Christ? Do you know that there are people that have sat in this building with us that have done just that? That's sad. I mean, they just didn't start going to another church. They went away. They're not hearing Him anymore. Is there anything that could happen in your life that would get you to say, you know what, Lord, you let me down. You look at the book and you say, you know what, I'm not believing it anymore. I hope and pray that doesn't happen. Will you also go away? I love what Peter says here. Look at verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Let me ask you this. Is there anybody here that has any better thing to offer? If you found it, tell me about it. I haven't found it. Oprah doesn't give it. Dr. Phil sure doesn't. Plato, Aristotle, forget it. Money ain't there. Government, it isn't there. Some politician, again, I'm asking you, you found anything better? We ought to give ourselves completely to hearing out the person of Jesus Christ. Where else shall we go, Lord? Where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter took all he knew about Jesus, and he realized that he was indeed the way, the truth, and the life. Peter decided he was going to be all in. You don't need to turn to this, but in Matthew 10, he called the 12 disciples and he sent them out. And the first one, according to verse 1, the first one that he mentions here is Simon, who is called Peter. He was all in. So Peter's chosen of God to be used of him to get the gospel out. He came, he confessed, he concluded that this is the Savior. And he was all in. Indeed, he was growing strong in faith. But I want you to notice, he was still prone to fail. He was still prone to fail. There were two areas that he was tripping. He was tripping in his words and he was tripping in his walk. Go to Matthew 16, if you would please. Matthew 16. We have just been here. Whom do men say that I am? Peter made his great confession. And it says in verse 21 in Matthew 16, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Hey, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Whoa, praise God. That's right, Peter. You know what? My Father showed you this. And he says, now, you disciples, I've got something else to tell you. And what happens? Verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. The first thing he does is he rebukes Christ in his words. You don't call Jesus a liar. You don't tell him he doesn't know what he's talking about. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Peter. Is that what he said? Get thee behind me, Satan. You know, it would terrify me to think that I was being a tool in the hand of Satan to discourage somebody, to tear apart a marriage, to tear apart a country, to hurt children, to hurt people and preaching and teaching the wrong thing in the gospel. I don't want to be used of Satan. I'm a child of God. So are you. Amen?
Amen?
Listen, let's make sure that in whatever we're doing, the decisions that we're making, whatever we, wherever we are, that we are being careful. Remember that song that we used to sing when we were kids, if you grew up in church? Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. You know, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Why? Because of this. He's calling Jesus a liar. Now, he had the best of intentions. I'm sure he did. No, Lord, you can't let this happen to you. And he wound up being on the side of the devil. Now, before you wind up bagging all over Peter, here we are. Paul Green has just been arrested. He has just been arrested. Again, exactly. Paul Green has just been arrested. And he's down in the jail, and we're fed up. All he was doing is he was standing for his rights. And we get together and we say, you know what? This ain't gonna happen. And we decide we're gonna ride shotgun with a shotgun, and we're gonna go down there and we're gonna get Paul Green out. Now wait a minute. Except there's one problem. What's happened to Paul Green is God's will. You see, we've got to be smarter than this. My God is in control. Lord, thy will be done. It was God's will that Christ came and died for you and for me. And we can have the best of intentions in a situation, but we better make sure we're seeking for God's will to be done. He rebuked Christ's words, and then he wound up rejecting Christ's words. Go to Matthew 26, if you would please. Matthew 26. I'm going to be spending a good time here and the rest of the message, most of the rest of the message. In Matthew 26, the Lord has come to the disciples. He says, you know what? All of you are going to be offended at me this day. The Lord's heart was heavy. The Lord's heart was so very heavy. Look at verse 33. What was Peter's response? Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Now again, the best of intentions. Except the problem is, he is absolutely operating 110% in the flesh. You know, here's what can take place. We are told to live by the Spirit of God. So we're doing right in the Spirit of God. Here's what can happen. All of a sudden, right over here, we just move one step. And all of a sudden, we're doing, quote unquote, right in the flesh. On the outside, it looks good. Guess what's one step? Next thing you know, you're doing wrong in the flesh. Now, Peter, again, best of intentions. Now he hasn't just rebuked Christ's words, he's rejected them. No, Lord, once again, he's calling Christ a liar. I will not do this. Look at what Jesus says to him, verse 34. He says, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. The book of Mark tells us that actually he said, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Jesus was giving Peter a warning shot. He says, now listen, you're going to hear it. You've got to understand this. Look at verse 35. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all his disciples. Peter got them all stirred up. Well, the problem is he wound up going from tripping in his words to tripping in his walk. Look at verse 40, Matthew 26. Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John. He was so very heavy. The disciples were heavy too. Not because of sleep. The Bible says they were heavy because of sorrow. They saw a situation coming along they couldn't explain. Verse 40, and he cometh unto his disciples, and finding them asleep, and said unto Peter, notice the disciples there, but he says to Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Later on, remember the picture that I showed you of the steps that they brought Christ? He not only fell fast asleep, but he followed afar off. Look at verse 58. But Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. It was outside and in sometimes inside there where Christ was being interviewed, where he was being interrogated. Yes, there's another word too. He was being beaten. That Peter was there, possibly going in and seeing it take place and then going out and warming himself at the fire. But he had followed afar off. Now he's in a world of hurt. Look at verse 69, Matthew 26. Now Peter sat without the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, see, he left where Christ was, and he walked out on that porch there where the fire was. When he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Hey, listen, your accent, you sound like you're a Galilean. What happens? Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. Now listen, this is a tough time, and I wonder if I would have done just as good. But here's a man that at one time was saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now he's cursing and swearing and saying, I do not know the man. He had just been warned about this. By this time already, he's heard that cock crow once. And now, he's about to hear it the second time. For the third time, he has denied Christ. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. This is what I believe happened. I can't stand on the Word of God for this, but I do believe, I do know, that the Word of God tells us, at least one gospel says, that Jesus turned and looked on him. Now Jesus was being interviewed. He was being whipped and such. He was being interrogated by the Sanhedrin. And here he is, being hated and spit upon and so forth. And I believe that what happened, that the cock crew, and somehow, I don't know how, Peter realized what took place. He went in probably just a little ways where he could see Christ, and Christ turned and looked on him. And everything that was going on, he turned and he looked on him. Now I wonder what your response would be. I know what mine would be. He just didn't weep, folks. He wept bitterly. Now let me ask you, why did he weep bitterly? Was it the emotion of the situation? Or was it simply this? He had said that he would do something. He was there, he was adamant. And then he found that his Lord knew him better than he knew himself. And he realized in the flesh what a failure he was. And he went out and just seeing what had taken place. He was the one that when they were in the upper room said to John, Hey, John, find out who it is that's going to betray him. He wanted to get to him. You know what he found out? He was one of the ones that was going to betray him big time. Now again, This is heart-searching time, folks. This is when we come together and we think, you know, is it possible that in my life, in my work, in my home, in some place, I have rejected Jesus. I've rejected His leadership. I've rejected His place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I've rejected Him as the Lamb of God. Oh, you're still saved. Peter was a Christian. He was a believer in Christ. He didn't lose his salvation here. Is it possible? He wound up walking away. Matthew 26, verse 56 tells us that all the disciples forsook Him and fled. And then eventually, this took place. Would you please turn to John 21. John chapter 21. Now, we're trying to weave something here. In order to catch this whole thing, I need to get ahead a little bit, then drop, fall back a little bit in order to bring the whole thing, to bring the whole story together. In John 21, please look at verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, that were James and John, and two of other of His disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. Now, please look up this way. We're catching a scenario in the middle as it's being played out. I'm trying to weave this as best as I can. Peter not only has gone through all we just saw, but he has also seen the risen Savior. He went in and saw the empty tomb. He was there with John. And then he was together when Christ showed Himself. And after that, after all that, in this time, when the Lord was showing Himself at times before He ascended into heaven, they're back now in Galilee, quite possibly not far from Capernaum, where Peter lived. And he's looking over the Sea of Galilee. They have gone through so much. They've learned so much. Now listen, he saw Jesus feed thousands. He saw Jesus raise people from the dead. He saw people healed. He heard Jesus preach. But there's a time that has gone on, and whatever it is that's goading in him, that's eating him in his insides, with the other disciples that he has had influence over, he stands up and he says, you know what? I go a-fishing. Now, you know something? There are people, maybe some people here, you have seen God work in your life. In fact, maybe you were a Sunday school teacher. I mean, you were absolutely surrendered to the Lord totally. You were His bondservant. You've led people to Christ. You would read your Bible, and not just to say that you read it, you were digging into it. You saw answers to prayer. I want to ask you something. Now follow me on this. How many of you have ever prayed? I mean, God has answered a major prayer in your life. Would you please stand up? There was a major answer to prayer in your life. I mean, it wasn't something just little. It was mega. And God answered that prayer. I want you to look around. Now please sit down. You know what that shows us? Number one, God's still in the business of answering prayer. Amen?
Amen?
But you know what? It was somebody just like you that said, I go a-fishing. Now, we live in an incredible time. And now is not the time for people that have been so blessed to say, I go a-fishing. You know, I've done my time. Somebody else can do it. You know, it's going to take somebody else. I let him down. I hurt him. Or he hurt me. By the way, he didn't hurt you. He has worked in you. But I want you to see this. Praise God that he was restored. He was restored by forgiveness. We've already read this, that he heard the cock crow and he went out and he wept bitterly. That was the struggle. Very quickly. Peter began to turn, though, I think sometime a little bit before what took place in John 21. Stay there in John 21. In Mark 16, Jesus told the disciples that were with him there, he is risen from the dead. He said, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you. That was the angels. Peter was not done yet. Even though he betrayed him, even though he denied him. In other words, even though he sinned against him, God still loved him. The Savior still embraced him. He still had a work for him to do. Are you listening? There's a job for each and every one of us. I want you to go back to chapter 21, book of John. Look at verse 15. Oh, let's go back a little bit. Let's go back. Let's read that section. Verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, that was John, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And soon then, as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring the fish which ye now have caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broke. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, we could go into the detail where he used the word agape for love, and Peter answered with phileo, I do have a fondness for you. That's not really important, I believe. What is important is what he's trying to tell Peter. Peter denied him three times. He says, you love me more than these? He says, then, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. It eventually dawned on Peter what Christ was doing. Jesus was saying to Peter, you are forgiven. Not only are you forgiven, but I'm going to use you and to my glory. In fact, this is how it's going to happen. Verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. The story is that Peter was crucified, but when they crucified him, he actually asked if they would crucify him upside down. He didn't want to be crucified like his Savior. You know, isn't it amazing that after all that Peter had done, had rebuked Jesus, his words, called him a liar, he forgave him. You know, don't you think that if Jesus could forgive Peter, he'll forgive you? Now, wait a minute. He can forgive you. No, but preacher, you don't understand what I've done. No, but God understands. And he died for all sin. Amen? He can forgive. By the way, that means that we can forgive one another. Amen? If God can do that, we can do the same. I love this. Because seeing what took place with his restoration, you then begin to realize what took place with his revival in his life. I'll never forget this. The first time I really studied this out and what took place with Peter, I was teaching down in Santa Maria, and I was so excited I had to show the kids this in chapel. And I said, look, after all this, you've got to hear what takes place here. The very next time we hear from Peter is Acts chapter 1. Look, if you would please, in verse 15, Acts chapter 1. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, listen to this. I love this. The scriptures must needs have been fulfilled. Now, you can go on and you can read what it was he was talking about. But Peter is saying, God said it, that settles it. This is what God said. I love that. Now, let me tell you something. You need to read the Word of God and you need to say, you know what? God said this, that settles it. He's forgiven me, that settles it. He can use me, that settles it. He is God, that settles it. He has commanded me, that settles it. Amen?
Amen?
And then you read him. You go to Acts chapter 2 and you read Peter's sermon there after Pentecost. And I mean how he preaches. It'll absolutely set your heart on fire. What a time. What a place to see. And you know who did it? You know who got up in front of all those and there were 3,000 saved? You know who got up and preached? The guy that opened his mouth, put his foot in it, chewed in it, spit it out, and said, you know what, Lord, you're lying. The same guy that tripped, that fell, that did this, that went, you know, Lord, can I get out of the boat? And then he winds up sinking. The guy that would step out and look sometimes like a fool. That's the kind of person that God wants to use. Now, if you've been using as an excuse your inabilities, I've got news for you. Like I think I heard Brother Whiteside teaching. The only ability he's looking for is availability. That's it. Lord, I am thine and all that I have. Now, if you've known me for long enough, you know that I'm not the greatest orator. That I'm not a tremendous administrator. And sometimes, you know what? I think, Lord, were you sure when you called this guy to preach? What are you laughing about? That's right. Thank you. Laughing with me. Amen. That's good. You know, warts and all, folks, here we are. And I'm telling you, in 2014, while the world is falling apart and they're terrified about what is happening, and people are talking about World War III, and they're talking about people getting out guns at home and going head to head with government, and all this what's going on, there are people like us, that all we need is the power of God, that need to go out. And when we are given opportunity, when we seek out the opportunity even, can look at a neighbor, a friend, and a co-worker, or a loved one and say, you know what? Jesus Christ died for you. And it's true. The Scriptures must needs have been fulfilled. Maybe somebody needs to say, you know what? I'm tired of, I've gone fishing and I'm tired. I'm putting away the pole. I'm selling my boat. I'm coming back. I'm going to live for Jesus. I hope and pray there's somebody here that can say that. Let's pray.